In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his slave at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." When a man gives a wedding feast for his son or his daughter, the invitations usually go out a few months in advance. But Jesus speaks here of a great supper. And this is something of an understatement, for the invitations to this banquet have been going out from the beginning of the world until today. The man who gives the great supper is God the Father, and the supper is the banquet of heaven, the marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end. And in order that heaven may be filled, God has been sending his slaves, his ministers out, to hand deliver the invitation to the people of every generation, to you. But there is a problem. When the day of the feast finally comes, those who had first been invited to the banquet begin with one accord to make excuses. The first had bought some land that he has to go see. The second bought some oxen that he needs to go test out. And the third simply says, "I have married a wife." He doesn't even bother to try to put together an excuse. He seems to think that's a self-evident reason for not attending the banquet. "Are you going to heaven?" "Of course not, silly. I just got married." Now, in our depraved culture, which sets aside an entire month to celebrate perversions against nature, I suppose we should give this man some credit. He at least married a woman. But what good will that do him in the end? For he too despises the invitation. Now, in the first instance, those who were invited and refused the invitation are the Jewish nation. God invited them first. He chose them, Abraham's seed, out of all nations on the earth. He entrusted them with the oracles of God. He led them out of slavery, led them through the Red Sea, fed them with manna, gave them the promised land, drove out their enemies on every hand. God was a father to them, and he showed them more tender compassion than that of a mother. And yet they were stubborn and hard-hearted. And in the fullness of time, when our Lord was born among them, they rejected him and crucified him. But the parable is not spoken only against the Jews. It is also a warning to you, lest you trifle with the grace of God. For there are many within the church today who have heard the invitation many years ago, and since that time have been busily preparing their excuse. And as a pastor, I hear these excuses often. Just like the man who got married, the excuses often hardly make sense. I remember being on vicarage, and we had a list of shut-ins, and we would go visit, the pastor and I. And one part of the group was called the mobile shut-ins. These were those who were too sick and feeble to come to church, and yet somehow they were never at home when we went to visit, always out shopping or getting their hair done. Mobile shut-ins. And I've since learned that when people give their excuses, there's always the fake reason that they say, and then the real reason that they don't say. "Pastor, I can't come to church because I work on Sunday." That's the fake reason. But the real reason that they would never say out loud, even to themselves, is, "Pastor, I just don't value the gift of Christ." Now, you'll notice in the text that none of the excuses are inherently wicked things. It's not as though people said, I'm too busy to come to heaven because I'm out robbing banks, committing genocide, and engaging in a month-long celebration of debauchery. No. One man had just bought some land. That's a fine thing to do. Another had bought oxen. A third man just got married. That's a wonderful thing. He should be congratulated. The Bible says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." But these good things can become snares that rob us of eternal life. And so Jesus warns you, take heed lest you too be led astray by these good gifts and spurn the invitation. So the slave came back and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house became angry. Now, I said already that the master of the house is God the Father. Is it right to say that God becomes angry? Yes. This is the language of Scripture. We confessed it in the Psalm. God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. And nothing makes God more angry than when people reject his invitation to eternal life. Now think of this. Do you fear the wrath of God? You should. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. But what does the wrath of God lead him to do? The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind." God is so angry with those who reject his invitation that he starts inviting cripples to his banquet. So tell me, do you like the wrath of God? Well, you should, because it's the only reason you got invited. It's hard for us to understand, but the wrath of God and the love of God are wrapped up together. You got invited to the banquet. How did that happen? Was it because of God's wrath or because of his love? It was both. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus with his arms stretched out in invitation to the whole world. Is that the revelation of the love of God or the wrath of God? It is both. God is so angry with the wicked every day, so angry that he invites them, invites even his enemies to repentance and eternal life. He is so angry that he sends out his slaves to hand deliver the invitation to you. And as we read, there were two kinds of people who got the invite. The first group were people of means. They were out buying land and oxen and getting married. They had all the things that we would consider blessings in this life. Property, wealth, marriage, health. And yes, they even had legs that worked and eyes that worked. And for all these blessings, they rejected the invitation. They rejected the only blessing that matters. But the second group had none of these things. Instead, they had poverty, hunger, sickness, lameness, blindness. And then they received and welcomed the invitation to eternal life. And so which group are you? You know, we often pray for all the things we consider to be blessings. God, please give me all the things. I need them. And God, who desires to give you every good thing and every good blessing because he loves you, may send you sickness or poverty. Why? In order to give you the greatest blessing of all, eternal life. Apart from Christ, everything that we might consider a blessing, health, wealth, piece of new land, new oxen, new wife, success, all these things apart from Christ become curses that lead us to reject eternal life. But for those who have been joined to Christ through holy baptism, everything that you receive in this life, everything that God in his good and perfect wisdom brings to you, even sickness, poverty, suffering, all these things become blessings that work together for the good of those who are called to salvation, for the good of those who are invited to the banquet. Now, as I was studying and translating this text last Tuesday with another pastor, we found something that seemed a bit odd. The second set of invitations goes out to the poor and the blind and the crippled and the lame. And we thought, we've got poor people, blind people, crippled people, and lame people. But isn't that the same thing? I guess all we could figure is that some people are doubly lame. There are cripples who can't walk, and then there are the extra cripples who really can't walk. And these are the ones who enter the banquet. And how do they get in? They're super cripples. They can't even hobble. But listen to what God does. Here is the grace of God that he has shown to you. The master said to his slave, "Go and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." So how did you get here? You are here because God, motivated by his love and his wrath, sent his slave to compel you to come in. You didn't choose him. You couldn't have chosen him. Most of you, as a perfect illustration of this, were carried to the font. Didn't matter if you didn't have legs. You were compelled. This is the love of God compelling you. And for anyone over 30, I am certain that your life has not gone according to the plan that you had all mapped out when you were a child. Had everything gone the way you had planned, you would have been busy buying property and oxen, pursuing wealth and power and pleasure, and living a life of rejection of Christ and his gifts. If your legs had worked, you would have walked away from Christ. But God has been merciful to you. Instead, he has blessed you with the gift of poverty and blindness, and yes, even the gift of double lameness. And God has used these things to keep you holding on to the promises of Christ that he gave you in your baptism. This was your letter of invitation, your guarantee of entry into the marriage feast of heaven. And everything that God has done in your life from that moment until this, everything he has allowed you to suffer, all of the sorrow and the pain and the sickness, all of these things that the devil would try to use to draw you away, Christ uses to draw you to himself, to keep you clinging to his promise. This is the outworking of the love of God as he compels you to enter his banquet. In the name of Jesus, amen.